Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In Jesus' name, we want to welcome you to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Man, if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you hear my voice. My voice means nothing without the name of Jesus Christ. But if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, some praise on today. Amen. I thank God for being here. I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name, giving honor to the founder of this network, this great network, the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Cook. God bless you in Jesus' name, giving honor to all of the Spirit Alive family, giving honor to my pastor and my First Lady in Jesus' name, Pastor William A. Tuggle III and First Lady Cosette Tuggle. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Today, I was tossed between two topics that the Lord wanted me to do. And even on the way in, I did not know what the Lord wanted me to do. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, well, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to do? And the Lord gave me confirmation just in the matter of minutes of us coming on here. Amen. And now I got confirmation, so I'm going to do what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Today's topic is dare to be different. Dare to be different. The reason why we must be, in every area of our life, we got to be different. The Bible says, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We must be different from the world. This means people in church and out of church. You must be different or we will not see the kingdom of God. If we delight ourselves in our own flesh, in our own thought, we will not see God. But if we delight ourselves in our thoughts, in our actions, in our lives unto God and keep it that way until his return, then we will see the kingdom. But there are some in and out of the church that go on in their own thought. In their own thought process, they do it this way. I'm not going to do it the Lord's way. I'm going to do it this way. And when they do it their way, they tend to mess up stuff. They tend to mess up stuff. And sometimes God will allow us, even though God is standing right there ready to perform the miracle, ready to perform the work, sometimes God will allow us to work out our own way, even though God is standing right there. And when we make a mess out of it, sometimes God will allow us to lie in the bed that we made just to get our thought processes going. But today, I commend all men to dare to be different from the world.
in your life, dare to be different in on your jobs, dare to be different in ministry, dare to be different while you're walking down the street, dare to be different when you're going in the grocery store, dare to be different. It's okay for you to be different. And what I mean by difference, I mean you live every bit of your life in holiness. No matter who says what, no matter who does what, no matter who changes, no matter who tries to change, the Bible lets us know in the book of Jude that there are certain men that will come in and try to corrupt people's walk with Christ. There are certain men that started out in godliness, in holiness, and somehow they got built up on their own self. And they got conformed to their own narrative. And I hate it when I do not like, and this is my own personal opinion, this new modern era of what church should be. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this new modern era of anything goes, of the Lord is doing a new thing, this new modern era of, getting a big name and getting a big title is not what the Lord wants. What the Lord wants is for us to be in righteousness. The Lord wants us to be holy, for he is holy. This is what the Lord wants, holiness in every area of our life. But like I said, there are some that come and corrupt and try to corrupt the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if a man come, even if an angel come and preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached, then let him be accursed. And we have, and I'm not necessarily talking to sinners right now. I'm talking to the church. We have to dare to be different, because we have people that have started out in this work, started out in the kingdom, and they have moved to their own narrative and tried to entice people to come into their narrative and not God's narrative. People that have started out in holiness, started out in righteousness. But we got to dare to be different. There are people in society saying, you can do this any kind of way. You can live any kind of way. The schools are teaching it. That's why we got to train up our young people. The reason why these young people, now I'm not saying all young people are moving away from the church, because that's not so. We do have young people that are in holiness, that are saved, that are sanctified, that are Holy Ghost filled, that have been baptized in Jesus' name, speaking in tongues that the Spirit of God gives the utterance. But let me tell you this. The reason why most of these young people are turning away from the church is because the church is trying to act like the world. And it hurts me. It hurts my very soul to see the church trying to act like the world, because I remember I was just tuning in on Facebook, and I was listening to a video that I watched on Facebook, and it was this television evangelist, and I mean, I'm not going to say his name, but he sat over there and said, God did not die for sin. God does not send people to hell for sin. He sends people to hell for unbelief. Now, both of those are wrong. He died for the sin. He died for the sins of mankind. And unbelief is sin. So we, and I said that to say this, we as ministers, as preachers, as apostles, or whatever title you may hold, the main concern is holding up the bloodstained banner, holding up righteousness. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a bishop, whether you're an apostle, whether you're a minister, whether you're whatever, whether you're an usher, whether you're sweeping the floor, whether you're cleaning the toilets, whether you're whatever, whether you're cleaning up the church, whether you're taking the pastor here and there, it does not matter what job you have in the body of Christ. The sole purpose of ministry is the fact that you are holding up the bloodstained banner and preaching truth unto a sinful, sinful world. That is the main objective. My former pastor used to say, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing about this thing here is that we must draw people unto holiness. We must live out holiness in our actions. We must live out holiness in our talk, our walk, in the way we live. Amen. We have gotten off course as the body of Christ. And I've said this a lot. The reason why, now I understand that we are living in the last days. I understand that we as people, we as saints, we read the book of Revelations and we say we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. We're living in the book of in the times where Noah was. And we are. Some of this stuff that's going on is because of prophecy. Prophecy being fulfilled. All prophecy has been fulfilled. Only thing we are waiting on is the coming of the Lord. But all of that is in full effect. But some of this stuff that's going on in there, some of this stuff that's happening in the world, I ain't going to say all of it, but some of it, it's because the church is not doing what it needs to do. We are focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on the isms, schisms, and we focused on how good we're dressed. We're focused on how good we sound when we preach. The devil is a liar. We're focusing on the title of a bishop. We're focusing on the title of an evangelist. We're focusing on the wrong thing. The main thing should be souls. We got to dare to be different to get the souls that are required of thee. We got to dare to be different. When man says it don't take all that, we got to tell him it takes all that and more. We got to preach holiness. We got to preach righteousness in season, out of season. When they like it, when they don't feel like it, when they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it, we got some preachers now that will preach any and every little thing there is just to draw a crowd. I'm not into crowds. Yes, well, you might say, well, Minister Adam, don't you want your church to grow? Yes, but not at the expense of people opening up the gates of hell. Not at the expense of people losing out on heaven. Me telling them the wrong thing and then they missing out on heaven. And on top of that, the people that tell them the wrong thing, not only are the people missing out on heaven, but if you continue to do what you're doing, you're going to continue to do it, and God's going to split the sky, and you're going to end up missing the mark. I'm sorry to say it. No, I'm not. I came to war today. Dare to be different. Dare to be different in every area of your life. Man, woman, boy, and girl gotta stand before God. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what what ethnicity you come from. I don't care what financial background you have. I don't care if you're the poor of the poor or the rich of the rich. It don't matter. All of us have to give an account for everything that we do, me and everybody else. And I'm gonna go further than that. I'm going to use my own self. I've told my children and I've told my wife, I cannot go before, I love you, but I cannot go before God for you. You got to go before God yourself and answer for the things that you've done. I can't save you when it comes before standing before God. I love you. And Lord knows I love my children, and I'll do anything to protect them. But when it comes to salvation, it's up to you. It ain't up to daddy. It ain't up to mama. It ain't up to sister nor brother. Because at the end of the day, if we don't dare to be different, at the end of the day, God's going to ask us, what did you do? Why didn't you preach what I told you to preach? Why did you try to corrupt what I done made holy? Why did you try to corrupt my word? Why did you say something about my word that wasn't really true? You conform to your own theory on what I said. You didn't get it from me, so what'd you say it for? We got a lot of people. We have a lot of people that die daily. And there are souls that are dying daily. And I don't mean to go here, but this is the way the Lord has taken me. We got to dare to be different. We got to dare to be different. It ain't all about, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. Now, back in 2015, well, before 2015, I was sitting in a service, and I've told this testimony before. I was sitting in a service, and the preacher told me, you're going to minister around the world. Now, in my thought processes, I thought I was going to be traveling around the world by what I got from that. I'm like, well, Lord, wait a minute. How am I don't even like leaving out of the country, none less going around the world. You know, all this stuff that's going on, what you talking about? And a few months later, I got blessed to being on the radio, ministering around the world. But you know what? I don't care about none of that. I don't care about having a big name. You, as long as you call me Brother Tuggle, I'm fine. You can call me Adam for all I care. I don't care. You ain't even got to call me brother. Just call me Adam. I'm good. I don't need the title of minister. I don't need all that. As long as I am drawing souls to Christ, I'm fine. The songwriter says, as long as one soul, if I gain one soul, I know my living is not in vain.
Amen.
I know my living is not in vain. What are we living for? I want you to ask yourself that question. What am I living for? What am I living around here for? I remember as a kid, I grew up, and everybody knows the movies, the franchise of Rocky. Rocky Balboa, and he had a trainer named Mickey, and in one of the movies, I don't know if it was one or two or Rocky two, I think it was Rocky two, but it was when he was getting ready to go up against Apollo Creed. Mickey told him, he said, well, what am I, he was standing in the ring with Rocky, and he was talking to Rocky, and he said, well, I have no reason to live. What am I living around here for? But with you, I got something. I got a reason to go on. He was telling Rocky, because of him, because of Rocky, he had a reason to live. And he told Rocky, he said, I'm not going to leave this world until you make good, until you make good out of your life. You'll be able to take care of yourself in and out of the ring. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, why are you quoting that movie? This movie has nothing to do with that. Yes, it does. I said that to say this. What are we living for? Why are we daring to be different? With Christ, we got a lot to live for. But in our own ideology or whatever you want to call it, in our own thought, we got nothing to live for. What the world has to offer, we got nothing to live for. Because all this stuff, if we're living around here just for the things and for the praise of the people and the fame and the fortune, all that going to pass away, so we really have nothing to live for. But if we got Jesus, if the Lord has given us an assignment to do, we got something to live for. We got reason to go on. But don't get caught up in the reason, but get caught up in the Creator that gave you the reason to go on. Because everybody, me, you, everybody got a testimony on what God brought them out of that could have took us out. But God kept us around here for a reason. We're still living for this reason. What is that reason? We're still living for this reason. What is your reason? Is it to draw souls to Christ? Or is it for you to boost your network? Uh-oh. And like I said earlier, I'm not talking to sinners right now. I'm talking to the saints. I'll head up that street in a minute. And as far as sinners, what are you living for? We're not here to judge. When I say this, I'm not judging nobody because I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. I'm not Jesus. But what are you living for? You got a reason why you're still here. God's got something for you. He wants to save you. He wants to make you whole, and he wants you to be different than this world. He wants to be on the inside of you. He wants to live on the inside of you. That's why he wants you to be different. And then society says, you ain't got to. I had one of my friends tell me a long time ago that I was too saved. And I got mad. And I tell this testimony a lot too. I got mad at my friend. I was so upset because of what he said. I felt insulted. And I went to my mom and my daddy, and my mother told me, she said, you better be glad he said that. You better thank God that he said that. And my father told me, he said, you know what? Don't be upset. Don't be mad. Because obviously he sees something in you that he ain't got himself. The holiness that you carry, the righteousness that you carry is convicting the spirit within the inside of him. And it's that spirit talking. It's not him, but it's the spirit on the inside of him. That's why the Bible says when the disciples and various ones would try to cast out spirits, and when these two men went before spirits and they got whooped on because they ain't had the Holy Ghost to cast out spirits, and they said, Jesus, we know. You know, various ones that would say, we know them, but who are you? Who are you? That's why we got so many spirits coming at us now, because the devil don't play friend. I'm gonna get to a scripture in a minute. Hold on, just give me a second, because I wanna move in the spirit of God. I wanna move in the spirit of God, because I wanna encourage somebody. Dare to be different. Dare to be different. Different than the world, different than the people you see in ministry. Different. And what I mean by different in the people that you see in ministry, if they're falling away, because the Bible does say there's going to be a great falling away. But like my pastor, like Pastor William Tuggle says, you don't have to be in that great falling away. Yes, there shall be a great falling away. There will be, and there is. That's already taken place. There's people falling off left and right. Once were saved, and now they not. They lukewarm. But the Bible says, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold than for you to be lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, why in the world would the Lord say, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold and not be lukewarm? The reason why, and he said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I'm going to give this example. I was watching a movie, and it's called War Room. And if you've ever seen that movie, it focuses, what that movie is focusing on is prayer. That's the main basis of that movie. But in that movie, the lady that was trying to help the other young lady in this movie, she began to talk about lukewarm, being lukewarm in your prayer life. Just being lukewarm in your prayer life, but I'm saying lukewarm in your life. One minute you're saved, the next minute you're not. One minute you are, next minute you're not. That's lukewarm. And that's actually being unstable. You are unstable when you go from one day you're saved, Sunday you're saved, you're shouting all over the church. Sunday, oh my God, oh Jesus, I'm praising him. But we see you Monday through Saturday, and you're living like the devil. That's lukewarm. That's why God spews you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. Why does he spew you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm? Well, this lady in that movie used the term with coffee. And if anybody's ever had hot coffee or cold coffee, it's pretty good. But lukewarm coffee don't taste good. It's nasty. It's nasty. And when a person is one minute, they not in sin. The next minute, they dabbling in sin. And then the next minute, oh, nope, I'm saved again. Next minute, oh, well, I'm just gonna go over here and, you know, but I got grace. I got grace. People have used, and I'm talking about the church, people have abused grace. Some preachers have abused, and I'll stand on both my feet and say it, and I'll say it to any preacher, any pastor, any evangelist that tries to come on this show and tell me different. Or anywhere else. There is a bunch of preachers. Now, I'm not just talking about television evangelists either. But we see it more in television evangelists because they're in the spotlight. But I ain't just talking about I'm talking about local preachers too. They will use and abuse grace and mercy. Oh, but the Bible says goodness and mercy shall follow me. Yeah, but there's requirements to that. And there's a requirement to grace, too. There's a requirement to grace. Look, let me show y'all something. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 23. Matter of fact, where it talks about the goodness and the mercy. Okay? Let's go to Psalms 23.
Because there's a requirement for the Lord's mercy. There's a requirement for his mercy. And it's a big requirement, too. That's why I don't like the fact when people say, I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with Christ. Yes, you do. That's why I always say, yes, you do. Let's Psalms 23, verse number 6. And it reads, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, we see that. Lord said it. We see that. You might say, well, Minister Adam, there it is right there. Bow. There it is. It said, the Bible says it, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Doesn't matter what I do. Wrong. Wrong. There's a requirement. Let's read that next one. It says, and, that and there, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the requirement. For us to receive grace, for us to receive the mercy, we must be up underneath the shadow of the Almighty. We must be in his presence. We cannot, people that come from up underneath the blood of Jesus, you are in danger. Whether you're in the church or out of the church, if you come from up underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, you are putting yourself in real danger. Naturally and spiritually. Because you are allowing the devil to come and attack you. The Bible lets us know that the devil is not our friend. The things out there in the world are there to corrupt us. How do I know? John 10 and 10. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to what? Destroy. That's his main intention. That's the world's main intention. That's their sole purpose. And when I say the world, I mean the devil's plan is to destroy mankind, not because of anything you've done to him, but to hurt Jesus Christ. His main goal is to hurt Jesus Christ. And it hurts him when people don't live right and they end up dying and they die in sin. It hurts him. It grieves him. It grieves the Lord. But the Lord has to do what he got to do. He got to follow. He is not a lie. His word does not lie. Amen. You might say, well, Minister Adam, that's why I said there to be different. Minister Adam, but God is loving. God is all loving. God, he is all loving. And God does have mercy. God does have grace. But it's when you abuse and misuse the grace of God. That's when, and only time, that's the only time when God removes the grace and the mercy. When you start abusing it, because the Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abound. Verse number 2 says, God forbid. That means he strips the grace for the ones that are not under his shadow. You keep going underneath it and then keep coming from it. You, the blood of Jesus. Now, I would, if I could, I'd save everybody. If I could, but I can't. We got to all work out our own soul salvation. That's why we got to dare to be different. We got to dare to be different. We cannot be like the world. I don't care if you're in the world right now, you got to come out.
The Bible says, be separate from the world. I don't care if you a preacher and you got it on your own authority to preach your own gospel and try to take the word of God and make your own gospel. The devil is a liar. You know what? I'm gonna allow my Spirit of Life family to get in on this, because man, if anybody wants to say something, you are free. Anybody in the chat room, anybody in the comments, anybody, because
praise the man of God.
Yes, sir.
I definitely want to say something about this.
Yes,
and the reason
I want to say
something about this is because so many people want to know how to please God. They really do. But many times it's so easy to focus on what not to do that we fail to tell people what to do. What is God asking for? And when you first start with the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning of everything, because his blood is powerful enough to cover all your sins. His broken body was powerful enough to cover all of your physical wholeness, right? Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ breaks it down. And without going through Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to recommend that everybody read it. But at the end of Matthew chapter 5, he tells you, he says, look, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who spitefully use you, and pray for those who persecute you, right? And that's what to do. In Matthew 6, he tells you, pray secretly, fast secretly, do your good deeds secretly, and forgive openly. And then it says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven, right? Instead of just telling people the truth and telling them where to go, we beat people up with things that they can't change until they get saved, which makes so many people feel unqualified to be saved in the first place, not understanding that the blood of Christ is powerful enough to cover all of your sin, pay for all of your sin, and will get the job done. And what God said is, the work he starts in you, he will finish. He doesn't leave things undone or half done, right? But as teachers, when we don't bring people back to the word and show them that it's reliable, show them that it's powerful, show them that it's able to do everything that the devil's trying to make you believe can't be done, we are just putting them in more bondage, right? So one, if you want to be different, live Matthew chapter 5. Read that, because if you really get into that, it says, hey, if somebody smacks you in the face on the right side, left side, turn the right one to them. If somebody asks you for your coat, give them your trousers too. It's like, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. And what it's coming down to is, it's not about you anymore. When you are a child of God, it's about you seeking to please God first. Not people, seeking to serve God, not money, seeking to trust God, not your own understanding, and seeking to obey God and operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, not your limited strengths, talents, and abilities. So that's all that I have to say about it. But what I have to say is what the Bible has to say, and you're right. We need to dare to be different. Amen, man of God.
Amen. We have to dare to be different. I say dare to be different. We have to live. Sometimes you can be the only Bible that people see. There are people in foreign countries that do not have access to a Bible. This is true. In the day, in 2022, we have people. I mean, in 2023, Jesus Christ, we in 2023, y'all. In 2023 and in 2022, we had and have people in foreign countries that do not have access to a Bible. Even here in America, we have people that have never picked up a Bible. that do not know the word of God. You might say, well, we're in the land of the free. How in the world did they not pick up a Bible? Because some people don't know. You'd be surprised. I went to the doctor's office, and I was getting therapy. And this young lady told me, she asked me, she said, why do you come in? You come in so happy all the time. Every time I see you, you're always happy. She's like, it's like you don't go through anything. And I told her, I said, keep watching me because I go through some stuff. She said, but how do you keep your peace if you're going through stuff? It's the word of God. She said, the word of God? I said, yeah. I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church, and that keeps me. The Lord keeps me when in times of need. He keeps me. And that's what I'm talking about. You might be the only Bible a person sees. The Bible declares that we're to be read by all men. Amen? We, as people of God, we are people. Yes, we're human, just like everybody else. But I'm so tired of the saints of God that say, I'm only human. Devil is a liar. I'm not talking to the sinner man right now. I'm talking to the people of God. When we learn how to live holy and we learn how to live right and show people, not just with our words, not just how great we sound from a pulpit, because it ain't about, look, I could sit over here and preach till I'm blue in the face. I could sit on this radio station. If Apostle Cook gave me all day to sit on here and preach, it means nothing if I'm not living right. Apostle Cook could allow me to preach all day long on this broadcast, but it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing if the person preaching is not living right. If the person in the Bible says that we are a sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. If you ain't living right and you preaching, sit down. I like Bishop Carver said, we're not teaching people how to get to grace, how to get to holiness. We teach them. We're not just teaching them by telling them, by hacking at them, by screaming at them. We teach them by the way we live. The best way to preach the word of God is your life. That's why I said earlier, what are we here for? What are we here for? Why are you still living? Right now, at the age, I don't care how old you are, see, I ain't afraid. I'm 35 years old. And I always ask God every day, why am I here? Not that I'm trying to leave off the scene, but I'm asking God, what is your purpose for me? What is, when you get deep into the Lord, that's why you got to dare to be different. A person that dares to be different will seek the Lord in every area of their life, will ask God first before they make a move if they're that deep in him. There are not just when you need grace to cover you, not just when you get in trouble, because there's some people, and I'm not just talking about the world either. I'm talking about kingdom kids. I'm talking about the righteous that will only call on God
when they need help. God, how should I do this? I need help. But you didn't ask him before you got in that situation. If you had asked him before you got in that situation, maybe you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in. And I'm not judging nobody when I say that. And I ain't beating nobody across the head when I say it either. But we must live the life of holiness. We got to dare to be different. Because the world is already dark as it is. The world is already corrupt as it is. But we are the light of the world. It's just like the scripture of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. There was 10 virgins, and there were five wise and five foolish. The five foolish took no oil with them, but the five wise had not only had their lamps trimmed and burning bright, but they took oil with them so their lamps would not go out. And what this scripture is symbolically telling us is have God on the inside of you at all times, because you never know what you might encounter. You never know when God's going to call you home. You never know what God is going to take you to. See, we got so many people wanting to go here and go there, but they ain't ready for it. They ain't ready for it because they not different. They doing the same old to get different results. But the same old is not getting you different results. It's getting you the same results. So why don't you do something different? Do something different. Dare to be different. Adam, what do you mean? Do something different. I'm talking about if you pray once a day, pray twice a day. Move God. I dare you to move God. I dare you to move God. You want to know how you move God? You want to know how you draw people? Do something different. Don't do the ordinary. Do the extraordinary. Dare to be different. If you witnessing to one soul a day, witness to two souls. Make it a point to witness to two souls, three souls, four souls. If you only reading the word of God, if you only reading a verse a day, that's all right. But make it two verses a day. Amen. Take yourself to higher heights and deeper depths in him. Not in yourself. Dare to be. God already expects us to be different. God already called us to be different. When your motives and your actions are like God's actions, and I'm not saying that we are God. I'm not saying that we are Jesus. But if we're more like him, we're already different. How do I know? You might say, well, Minister Adam, how do you know that? Because he let us know in the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, he said, we're a royal priesthood. That's different. You don't see that every day. And I'm going to use this example. My former pastor and my first lady says it all the time. If you ever went before the Queen of England any kind of way, do you not know you would not make it before her? You wouldn't even stand before her. Now, I'm just using this as an example. I'm not putting her up there with Jesus. I'm not doing that. But I'm just using this as an example. If we went before the Queen of England or the King of England now, we ain't just going to go before them any kind of way.
If you an ambassador for the United States, the ambassadors for the United States don't go before the presidents of other countries just any kind of way. They, at least they shouldn't be. They come with respect. They come with honor. And that's the way our lives should be before men, representing, just like the president represents the United States, or the ambassador represents the United States. We represent more than that. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We represent Jesus Christ. That's why he called us a royal priesthood. Why? Because everything about him is royal. Everything about him is righteous. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He said, be holy, for I am holy. Any other thing other than holiness, it ain't about, it's not about nothing. Anything other than holiness, I wouldn't even step 2 feet toward it. Anything that does not line up with holiness of God, anything that does not line up to Jesus, I wouldn't even step foot for. I wouldn't even step my 2 feet towards. Because there's going to be something. There's going to be something. See, a lot of us as people, we are, some people are afraid of the unknown. Now I'm about to go here. I'm about to go here. To the ones that are not saved, I'm going to say this as nice as I can, because I've heard this said before. Well, if I give my life over to Christ, I won't be able to live life. I won't be able to have the nice things in life. I won't be able to live my life the way in you know, happy. Yes, you can. There is something wrong with people that do not have God in their life. And it's not necessarily the person, but it's the person's life. When I say there's something wrong, you and I, without Christ, that is of danger to us, can happen. Anything can happen. You might say, well, the Bible says he reigns over the just and the unjust. Yes. But it's good to be covered by mama's prayers. It's good to be covered by daddy's prayers. It's good to be covered by brother and sister's prayers. But the Lord had made room for you. He said he wants you to come boldly to the throne of grace. But you got to come. You got to come right. You can't just come any kind of way. You can't just come any way you feel like coming. There are some people even in the church that come to church any kind of way. They spirit all jacked up. They toe up from the floor up. They come in all. They come in late. Uh-oh. I'm hitting nerves. They toe up from the flow up. They come in with they all, it's all about me. They come in with they, oh, mother didn't speak to me. You know, the sister over there didn't speak to me. The brother did over there didn't speak to me. They come in with, I mean, just any kind of spirit. They don't come in with a spirit of gratitude. They don't come in with a spirit of holiness, but they come in with the isms and the schisms, some of them. I ain't going to say all of them. But that's not right to come into the presence of God. Like, you wouldn't come before... You wouldn't come before your boss like that. You ask, you see, the Bible says if ye ask anything in my name, and I will do it. The Bible also says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you come to your boss asking for a raise, you don't just come to him or her any kind of way. You don't come. See, and I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to use me. I ain't going to use nobody else. I'm going to use me. The time this last, I've been on my job, the job I'm working at now. I work with kids. I work with little kids, you know, from teenagers on down, or grade school kids on down to babies, to infants. And I started back in June of last year. And the first couple of months that I was there, I did all I could to do a good job. I didn't say nothing. I just did my job. I did what I was asked. I did all of that. And one day I went in there. I went before my boss, and I was teasing. I wasn't even looking for it. Just to show you how you come before men, right? You come before God, right? God will give you not only what you ask for, but everything else you've asked for. He'll give you what you need plus what you ask for. So I went before my boss, and I was teasing. I said, well, you know what? I think I deserve a raise. And I was playing. And my boss said, I think you deserve one too. All the hard work you've done, and every time we tell you, you're flexible, you always got a smile on your face, you never cause any problems. You always, and she's a Christian. She said, you're always talking about how somebody can love somebody. You do deserve it. And I'm like, well, and I told her, I was being honest with her. I'm just kidding, but if you want to give me a raise, you can give me a raise then. She was like, I'm going to talk to my boss. I said, okay. That next week, I got a raise. Because she was telling about all the dare to be different. Dare to be different. We must be different in every area of our life for the cause of Christ. Bishop Carver said it earlier. If somebody causes you, if somebody's coming against you, Don't. If they going low, you don't go low with them. You go high. Michelle Obama said that. She said, when people go low, the Obamas go high. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm a add on to what the former first lady said, because I'm gonna take it to a spiritual level. When people come at you, when your enemies come at you, when people that don't like what you stand for come at you, you ain't got to cross over to what they do. Go high and look to the hills and look high. Look up. Look up. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Don't you worry about, well, they messing with me and they bothering me, I might as well give up. No. That's when you dare to be different. Keep going. Keep moving. For the unsaved, I'm here to tell you, this is the best life that you could ever live. You have, I was watching a documentary last night. It was on a wrestler by the name of everybody knowing, by the name of Ric Flair. And he was in a wrestling group called the Four Horsemen. And this is, you know, wrestling jargon, so some of y'all may not know and some of y'all might.
But he said that at that time in the 70s and in the 80s, he said that was the best group going today. Well, let me tell you something. Statement that Ric Flair used about his group, that ain't nothing compared to having a relationship with Christ. That ain't nothing compared to what God has got for you. This is the best life going today. Yes, we're going to have some hard roads. Yes, we're going to have some tests and some trials. If we didn't have tests and trials, we wouldn't know how good God is. Yes, we're going to go through some things. But as it says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. I'm skipping some verses, y'all. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for what his name says. That next verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. When life takes you through the valley and you got Jesus, you got everything you need. So to that sinner man, I'm telling you today, dare to be different. Come out from among them. Come out from among the sinful nature. Come out. Come out. Come on out. Because this is the best life going today. Dare to be different. I dare you. I double dog dare you. In the words of a great elder that I know, Elder Billy Clark, I double dog dare you. And that's two dogs, too. I double dog dare you to try Jesus. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? In him. Over here, see, we got a lot of living to do over here. A lot of living. There's a lot of living to do over here. On this side. On this side. On this side of sin. And what I mean on this side of sin, on the other side of sin is righteousness. But on that side is destruction. On that side is torment. On that side is death. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. Because when a person remains in sin, they're dying daily. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, I've done so much. I've done so much. I've done this. I've done that. How can the Lord accept a person like me? I've done so much wrong in my life. Well, guess what? You and me both. And I said you and me. And guess what? There was a person in the Bible that called himself the chief sinner, which means he was the first. Was first named Saul. And God changed his name. He killed the saints. He persecuted the saints. Anybody that was in righteousness, he was killing them. Anybody that called on God, he killed them. But his life was turned around. His life was changed. And his life was changed so much that his name, his whole name was changed by Jesus, from Saul to Paul. And he lived a life of holiness. When the Spirit got a hold of him,
when God's voice got a hold of Saul, it changed him that day. And it made a complete turnaround. Peter's another person. Moses is another person. Now, the difference between Paul and Peter and Moses is that Peter and Paul received the Holy Ghost. Moses didn't, because there was no Holy Ghost to be given out in Moses' day. Moses died before the Holy Ghost came. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, why would God want to fill me with his presence? And I've done so much. That's what he died for. He died to take on what you've done. He died to take on what you've done so you can dare to be different. You see, in life, we go through hurdles and challenges. We go through a lot of challenges in life. But those challenges in hurdles in life are not meant to break us, but they're there to make us. Whether you saved or unsaved, those challenges are not meant to break you. They're there to make you. They're there to lead you and guide you unto where God wants you to be. If you're unsaved, the things that you go through is to lead you unto holiness, to make you so tired that, hey, I got to give up this stuff. I got to get to Jesus. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she crawled to Jesus. She dealt with this issue with her blood for 12 long years. And she went to physician after physician, and she went to this doctor and that doctor. But nobody knew the cure to her illness. And we got a lot of people that are going through spiritual illnesses, mental illnesses, and they need relief. And today, I'm calling it out today, begging you, and I don't beg nobody to do nothing except be saved. I beg you today to come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among the sinful nature. Come out from that sinful man you might say you are, those wrongful things that you do. And I'm not judging you when I say this, and I'm talking to the sinner man. Now, I'm even talking to the person that calls themselves a saint, but you're living a lukewarm life. Come out from among that, because you don't need to hold on to that. The Bible lets us know, what is the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is the most important thing on the face of this earth that you will ever hold. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, on today. Now, I'm going to say it like this, because you know what? There's some preachers that will tell you that, and I heard a singer condemn a pastor for coming against Beyonce. And this singer by the name of Tank, he came against this pastor. And you know what? I'll go up against anybody when it comes to the word of God, especially for righteous living and sanctification. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how much money you got or how much power you think you got. If you are not saved, if you have not been born again of the water and the Spirit, states in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You got to be, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. You have to come out from among them. I'm going to read you 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And this is for, like I said, you got to come out from among them. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, just to show you that it's in the word of God that we should be separate, okay? And that the Lord said this. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's why we say this. This is why we preach this. You might say, well, I know Jesus. I know him. But if you don't come out from among them, if we don't come out from sin, we're none of his. The Bible, we just read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He said, that's the requirement. The only way for you to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ is for you to come out of sin. For you to come out of sin. You got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Let's go to, in these last few minutes, let's go to John chapter 3. Because I quoted that and I want you to see that. John chapter 3. Starting at verse number 3. And Jesus said unto him, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. You or I cannot see the kingdom of God until we have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. One day I'm gonna teach that. Whenever the Lord says the same, I'm gonna teach it. Because it's needful. Because if we read further down in this verse, it said, well, Nicodemus was asking, in verse number 4, Nicodemus was asking him, and I'm paraphrasing, basically, how can I be born again, and I'm a grown man? Can I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? In verse number 5, Jesus answers Nicodemus, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, when Jesus said this, and I'm talking to sinner man, I'm talking to the believer. I'm talking to the ones that preach, whoever listening. The ones that preach, it only takes for you to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and that's it. The Lord Jesus. And you got a relationship with him right then. That ain't all of it. God got more for you. God has more for you. Now, I'm not going to say what you've already learned is wrong, because it's not wrong, because it's found in it's found in Romans, in the book of Romans. Amen. Should confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. We ain't denying that. But there's more than just that. Amen. It's more than just that. You gotta go down in Jesus' name. You gotta go down in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And when you look at the Word of God, and you look at the natural, the Word of God, well, the natural confirms the Word of God. When Jesus said, "Except a man be born," and I'm gonna read it, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." Now, there's two things you need to be born again in the Spirit. You need the blood and you need water. Now, Jesus gave us one of those. He already gave his blood, the blood of Jesus. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. A baby, when a baby is born, before the baby is born, while it's in the mother's womb, it's surrounded by what? Blood and water. Uh-oh. When that baby is born, that baby is connected to something called an umbilical cord. Where that mother takes in that water, that baby gets that water. But when that baby is born, that baby comes out all bloody. Why? Because that baby has been around blood. Baby's covered in blood. And when that baby is born, the doctor looks for life in that baby. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Because I'm about to confirm something that the Lord wants me to confirm to some people. And let's go to Acts 2:38. Because I'm a boy. Whoo, Jesus. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now watch this. They were baptized in Jesus' name in the upper room. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this procedure in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, will happen to a person once they get saved. Just like that baby being born, that doctor looks for life, that doctor looks for a cry in that baby. When a person speaks in tongues, that is declared that you have the life. You have the life living on the inside of you. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You have the life living on the inside of you, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost. And he cries out. He shows you that he lives on the inside of you. And once you get him on the inside of you, Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall have power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem
and in all of Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. This is why we got to dare to be different. This is why we cannot change. This is why we cannot change. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with this because it's time to go. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it says, "For this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all those that are far off, even as the many as the Lord thy God shall call." Which means is this Holy Ghost power is not only for me, but it's for my children, it's for my grandchildren, it's for my great-grandchildren, and it's for people that has come before me and that will come after me, should the Lord tarry. Which means the Holy Ghost is for everybody that will accept it. There is no new Holy Ghost. There is no old Holy Ghost. It's just the Holy Ghost. Amen. I pray that you got something out of this on today. Dare to be different. Dare to be different on today. God bless you. I love you. And since I've already quoted Acts 2 and 38, I ain't got to quote it no more. You already know. But this is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. We've already declared it. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see God one day. If you want to go to heaven, you got to do these steps and you got to live right. No matter who you are, no matter what background you come from, everybody got to go the same way. Amen. God bless you. I love you. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. This is your transformation station where you can be ye transformed. God bless you. I love you. Bishop Cook, thank you for allowing us to come one more time to bring forth the word on today. Spirit Alive family, I love you. In Jesus' name, I love each and every one of you. And until next week, God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you in Jesus' name.